Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, live on the air, as always. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Glad to be with you today. A couple of our radio team will be joining me in a few moments. It's always good to be able to share the Word of God with you every Sunday afternoon. It is our joy to be able to be on this radio station now in our seventh year, right here on TanTalk1340.com. Some of you in the Tampa Bay area, if you don't know that we are also live streamed on TanTalk1340.com, now you know it, and you can go to that if you prefer instead of listening to your radio channel. But anyway, we're so glad you're all joined us, and we're looking forward to a great show. We've been in a series right now called Flowing in the Spirit and learning how to just get the mind of God and get answers to our prayers and flowing with what God is doing and what He wants to do in each of us. And I think a lot of times people don't realize how much God really does want to speak to us, how much He wants to answer our prayers, how much He loves us. It never ceases to amaze me, but I hear it a lot. A lot of people think God is upset with them, mad at them, whatever the case may be, angry with them. And we are here to talk about the real nature of God, His great love for us, His compassion, His loving kindness that never ends, just how wonderful He is. And we do that week after week, show after show, and talking to you about His goodness and His greatness. So it's really a joy to be here with you today. And Brother Nathan, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
All right. Nathan Burton, we've been ministering together for, golly, 10 years or more now, right?
Yes, we have.
Yes, what a joy, and what a dear brother you are. Kind of like my brother, actually, you know, although I don't have a physical brother, you know, I've got two sisters, but, you know, you're kind of like that. You know that, Nathan? There's that connection that we have in the Spirit of God that is just amazing to me. I love it. I love
unity. Appreciate being your brother.
You do. Okay. Actually, we've teased about that for a long time, haven't we? You and Yvette and I being triplets. And only problem is I'm not quite the same skin shade as you and Yvette, but that's okay. I'm close.
But you're close enough.
But anyway, so good to always have you on the show. You've been a part of the radio team. You and Connie were on the very first show we ever did. April of 07. Can you believe it's been that many years that we have been on the radio every single Sunday?
Yes, isn't that something?
Yeah, time flies when you're having all this fun, right?
That's right.
Yes. And has God been just answering prayer right and left, Nathan?
Yes, he has. Our prayer ministry is just really vital to our entire ministry.
It is.
And it seems like it's vital to a lot of people that are just connecting with us through the prayer ministry.
They are. And from several states. And I don't know if you saw, and we'll talk more about the prayer ministry when Carol comes on later, but just a number of prayer requests that are coming in and the amount of praying that's happening by our prayer team and the results. My heavens. Ooh, hallelujah. Yeah.
God is good.
He is, because he answers prayer, you know, and I think, you know, we sang that last week. You and I and a few others from our ministry go to Palm Garden Nursing Home the first Sunday of the month. And last Sunday was that day. And I don't know about you, Nathan, but I just love our nursing home ministry. Don't you?
I do. Yes, I do.
And one of the songs we sing there a lot is an old one. God is so good. God is so good. And then the next verse, God answers prayer. And I love to see those little residents and hear their voices chime in, singing that song, God is so good, because when that declaration comes out of their mouths, I am believing that at some time in the middle of the night when they wake up or they're afraid or they can't sleep, they remember God is so good. God answers prayer, you know?
I believe so. I believe they really mean it when they sing it.
Yes. I did too. It's so cute to watch their faces, isn't it? So, you know, that's a joy. The first Sunday of the month, every month, now for 3 years, we have been ministering a little 35-minute service. It's not very long, but just enough time to sing a bunch of songs with them, get them to interact. And what a joy, Nathan, for me it is. I look forward to that Sunday every month and look forward to being able to just see their smiles and hear them sing, you know?
So do I.
Yeah. Yep. God is so good. We're in this series on flowing in the Spirit. And I think a lot of times, Nathan, people don't really flow with what God is doing because they don't understand his character. They don't understand how important it is to pray in a certain way, which we're going to talk about today. In fact, I'm not going to tell you what that is till we get there in 1 Samuel. So if you have your Bibles, you can go there to 1 Samuel, find that book. And Nathan, why don't we start with prayer today? I'm going to ask you to pray for the show today out loud, if you will, please.
Certainly. Father, we thank you and praise you for another day that you've given to us, that you've blessed us to be here on this earth, and that you allowed us to come together on this radio program. Those people that are listening, as well as Pastor and I, as we share your word, we pray that you will manifest yourself by your Holy Spirit in the lives of each one listening and each one participating, that you will get the glory, that nothing will be said or done that is not your will, but that you will get the absolute glory.
Amen.
That your will be done.
Amen.
And we just thank you and praise you for those that are listening. We pray that their needs will be met.
Amen.
Today. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. Amen. All right. Woo, here we go. First song by the group Big Daddy Weave. We love that group. It's a new contemporary group. The song is Redeemed. Here we go.
Struggle, haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, prisoner, and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won, and I am redeemed, you set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains, and wipe away every stain. Long day.
I love that. Wow. I am redeemed. You set me free. You're not done with me yet. Now I'm not who I used to be. That's good news, isn't it, Nathan? That we are not who we used to be.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in progress and process. And I find that interesting that Connie, who does our music, started this show with that song today, because that goes right along with where we're going with Hannah here in 1 Samuel, doesn't it? We are in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we talked last week about this story. There was a lady in Israel. Her name was Hannah. She was married to a man named Elkanah. He also had another wife, Peninnah. This was customary at that time, where they would have multiple wives, etc. And Peninnah had been blessed with many children. And we talked last week. If you missed last week's show, go back to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can hear it. So I won't give you that whole rundown. But Peninnah had been blessed with a lot of children. It was the thing to do, provide a lot of children to the husband, so that the country, the nation of Israel, could grow. And God had told them to be, you know, to multiply and replenish the earth. So that's what they were doing. However, Hannah had not ever been able to have a child. And it was a very, very sad thing for her. And there may be some of you out there today who, for whatever reason, have never had children of your own. And some of you may be fine with that. And that's okay. That was what you preferred. And others may have wished they could have had children, and for whatever reason, never could. At any rate, you could identify with the heartache of something that didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen. I think we can all identify with that, whether or not it is that you bore children or not, that issue. The fact that there are all of us have issues, that things that have happened that didn't go the way we wanted them to go. And Hannah was in that kind of a place. She was worn out from the way that Peninnah would treat her, the ridicule that came from the other wife to Hannah because Hannah had not had children. Nathan, can you picture that? I mean, that's got to have been pretty bad, I think. You know, cat fights or whatever, you know?
Well, it seemed like, you know, the women in those days felt like their primary function was to have children.
Right, exactly.
And if they did not have children, then they weren't living up to their function.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, and Peninnah, of course, just ridiculed Hannah because she's like, you know, and look at all the kids. You don't
exactly.
Have any,
right.
You know.
And but, you know, Nathan, last week we talked about this, and just a little review here at the beginning of the show. You know, the devil will come in our lives and cause ridicule, cause condemnation, and actually cause people to be mean and nasty towards us, you know, sometimes, you know, especially those who are trying to live the way God wants them to live. The devil does not want you to live in peace, so he will cause different ones in your life, maybe family members, maybe people at work, to cause ridicule and shame you or put you down. Huh? Say it again.
Or even other church members.
Absolutely. That can happen too, sadly to say. But it can. And people can be used of the devil to cause ridicule, shame. I love the song we did this morning at our service, Trading My Sorrows. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm trading them all for the joy of the Lord. You know, whoa. And that's exactly what Hannah did here, Nathan. She traded all that in for a relationship with the Lord. And she chose to get very bold. And it was almost like she'd been living in years of this ridicule from Peninnah. And her feeling less than, you know, and some of you out there today, you may feel less than. Maybe that is something that you struggle with, where you feel like you haven't measured up to your family's expectations or your spouse's expectations or your boss's expectations. Maybe you live in shame. And that song again, I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, all for the joy of the Lord. Talk to me about that, Nathan. I mean, that's a good trade-off, you know, to get the joy of the Lord for that.
Please, thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know, and trading sickness and pain.
Right.
You know, just everything negative in your life, you're trading off for the joy of the Lord.
Woo! Amen.
I mean, trading all the negative stuff for joy.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Okay.
I can get on board with that.
Oh, yeah. We can live with that joy, right? Yeah.
We can. Yes, we can. And so many people need to realize that they can do that.
Yes. But
there's probably somebody sitting in our radio audience right now
yes.
that doesn't realize they can trade in everything in their life for the joy of the Lord.
Amen. The sorrow, the shame. That verse, the next second verse says, I'm trading my sickness and my pain. So sorrow and shame and sickness and pain, all of that can be traded in for the joy of the Lord. In other words, you give God all of that like Hannah did. Hannah got desperate enough. She came to a crossroads, Nathan, where she said, enough is enough. And I think it's time for the body of Christ to rise up and say, okay, enough is enough, devil. You're going to quit harassing me. You're going to quit treating me this way. Talk to me about this, Nathan. Enough is enough.
Well, I think God allows that situation and circumstances and the devil.
Right. He does.
To harass us enough till we get tired of it.
Amen.
Till we get sick and tired of it.
Right.
And realize that there is a way out.
Yes.
There is a way that's a better way.
Right.
And that's giving it all to the Lord.
I agree.
So just releasing it.
Yes.
And not holding on to grudges or not holding on to the pain, not holding on to hard feelings or just not holding on to it.
I think that's where Hannah got, Nathan. I think she got to a point where she said, I'm fed up with this. I am not going around this same mountain over and over again. We talked about that last week, too. And I think that at that point, something engaged on the inside of her. There was a shift. I like to use that word shift because I've seen it through the years. A divine shift. Nathan, there was a divine shift in you a few weeks back. Physically,
yes, there was.
Was there not? Do you want to talk about that? You can talk about it.
Well, I'm sitting at the piano, and you're praying for people and praying for healing and that, and you looked up at me and told me to come on down, so I come down to you, and before I could pretty much get there, you said, be healed, and wow, just laid me out.
Yeah, laid you on the floor. It knocked you over. Yeah, and that was just the power of God. Some of you out there are going, that's weird. Yeah, it sure is. I tell you, when you see it and when you know that you haven't, I mean, I couldn't even touch, I didn't touch you. You know, you got right there, and I remember putting my hand out towards you. I'm not sure if I even touched your head at all, but you were gone. I mean, I didn't push you, nothing like that. Some of you that are skeptical about this just need to relax with it, know that God does things sovereignly in his way of doing things.
His way. That's
Woo!
Right.
I mean, if there had been no change in you from that event, Nathan, then we could say, well, what was that about? But what happened? Tell our listening audience what happened to you.
Well, God healed me. And he's still healing me. And I was able to put away my walker.
Yes.
I'm able to walk. Without the aid of a walker, and I'm able to get up and down the stairs without aid.
Right. Strength.
Of course, I gained a few pounds.
But the joy of the Lord has just been all over you. Everybody that sees you looks at you and goes, Nathan, wow. Because the glory of God is all over you. The strength is in your body. You have definitely traded your sickness and pain, okay, for the joy of the Lord. Okay. And Hannah did that very thing. What she did was she got serious about her predicament. And so she slipped into the sanctuary. The whole family had gone up to Shiloh to offer the yearly sacrifice. And, you know, she was being beat up again verbally and teased by Penina. So she slipped away, went into the sanctuary, and she began to pray to the Lord. And her mouth was moving. And Eli the priest saw her and thought she was drunk. He even said to her, what's wrong with you, woman? You seem drunk. And she responded, I'm not drunk. I'm praying. I'm crying out to God. I'm believing God for a child. And not just any child. Right, Nathan?
Right, exactly. She prayed and asked God for a male child.
Right.
For a boy.
Yes.
And she said, you give him to me and I'll give him back to you.
Right. Wow. That's just huge, you know? I believe God put that desire within her heart, Nathan.
Yeah.
I believe God put that desire in Hannah's heart because he needed the next judge of Israel to be to come forth. And it needed to be a godly person, one that could be trained up in the ways of the Lord. And what better way than to start from the actual conception? Samuel's mother, Hannah, never having had a child, was one of seven miraculous births in the Bible, one of them being Elizabeth, John the Baptist, Mary giving birth to Jesus, and others, Rebecca giving birth to Isaac and Jacob, and all these childless people suddenly cry out to God, and God hears and answers, and there was a need for this little guy to come forth and be trained up in the way he should go to become the next judge of Israel. Isn't that interesting how God did that?
That is interesting.
And, you know, I love the fact that Hannah is a type of Mary, too. You know, an Old Testament, here's a child, and God is going to use him all his life. Same with Mary carrying Jesus in the New Testament. This is the Old Testament version of that. But, Nathan, when we see this, doesn't it just cause faith to rise in your heart that this little person, Hannah, nobody knew her. I mean, she's one of Elkanah's wives. But she believed God, and he heard her prayer. Talk to me about that.
Yes. Well, when she was praying, of course, Eli thought that she was drunk.
Right.
And he went over to shoo her away. And she said, no, I'm not drinking. I have no wine or beer. It's touched my lips. She said, I'm talking to God.
Right.
And, then Eli kind of backed off, you know.
Yeah.
So she's talking to God. Well, then he said, well, be it unto you as you've come to God, may your request known to God, may it come to pass.
Right.
And it was like he was in agreement with her.
Right. He became in agreement right there. How important is that, Nathan? We talked about it Wednesday night at church. How important is prayer of agreement?
Well, the Bible says if any two of you can agree as touching anything upon this earth, it shall be done for them by our Father which is in heaven.
Amen. Matthew 18:20. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think it's pretty important.
You know, well, and that's what happened with you a few Sundays ago, Nathan. You and I, and you know, we came into unity right there. We came into agreement, didn't we, for your healing?
Yes, we did.
And so here's old Eli after he is told, no, she's not drunk. He goes, oh, okay, you're believing God for something special? Okay, I'll agree with you. That's exactly
right.
What we need to do, you know?
Exactly.
But as soon as he said that, it says in the Message Bible in verse 18 of 1 Samuel 1, if you're following along, that then she ate heartily and her face was radiant. What do you think happened right there, Nathan? What happened to her?
She got confidence.
Amen.
That God heard her prayer and that his answer was yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
She knew that. She knew it in her heart. It was sealed in her heart. She knew that she would have a child.
Right.
And she knew that God loved her. I mean, she knew that God loved her.
Right.
And it just welled up inside of her. She just...
Praise God.
How can you not be radiant?
Oh, absolutely. And Nathan, we've got to translate that into our everyday lives. We have got to be believing God for what we need to believe God for, whatever that is individually. You know, some people out there in radio land today, maybe it's their health. Maybe your health is bad. Or maybe it's your eyesight. Maybe it's going and you need prayer for that. Maybe it's stomach issues. I mean, who knows what it is, but it's a matter of grabbing hold of the promises of God, right?
Right, exactly. Well, one thing you got to believe that, first of all, as Pastor stated earlier about the nature of God, God loves us.
Ooh, amen. Wait a minute. Just a minute. I got to get my bell for that, Nathan. Say that one more time. Will you say that one more time?
God loves us.
Woo! Absolutely. Yeah.
Unconditionally.
Unconditionally.
And God's not mad at us. He's not this God of vengeance that we've heard about for almost all of our lives.
Right.
You know, he's not this God that's out to get you.
No.
Or he's not this God that's standing with a huge fly swatter ready to swat you when you do something wrong. You know, he loves you. He loves me. And he wants the best for us.
Just the way we are.
Yeah, he loves us just the way we are. Just the way we are.
He accepts us. And you know, Nathan, I grew up in church and you did too. We were both pastor's kids. And yeah. I think that I heard a lot of vengeance, a lot of be careful, you're going to hell type stuff. I know I did, because at 5 and 6, I got saved, I think, 6 or 8 times I went down to the altar, you know, as a little kid. You know, my dad finally pulled me aside and he goes, what are you doing? You know, God, you're saved. God loves you, you know, but it's that fear of hell, you know, that a lot of people.
You want to get that fire insurance.
Yes, yes, yes. And a lot of people, that's all their salvation is, you know. They don't want to go on with God. But we see Hannah here, she understood the nature of God because she said, God, I need a son. And he goes, oh, glad you ask, you know.
Because God needed a son.
Amen.
Someone to come into this world to be the next, to be a judge.
That's right. Exactly.
And Samuel was a powerful and godly man.
Right.
And just in history, he was a fantastic judge.
Right. He's the one that anointed the first king of Israel, Saul, and then he's the one that went and anointed David. And, you know, when you look at that, Nathan, I think there's so many people who feel that they can't ever accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. But look what Hannah did just by her choosing to believe God for her miracle. Look how it has affected so many people. David wrote most of the Psalms, and this book of Psalms is one of my favorite books in the entire Bible, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how do we convey this message today, Nathan, that people need to really get specific with their prayers and believe God for the answers that they need? First of all, they've got to have a desire to have something, whatever that is. And in Hannah's case, it was a child, a son specifically. But you know, in other people's lives, there's other things, a different job or, you know, whatever the case may be, the health of a child or whatever. Talk to me about that, Nathan. I think Carol's already joined us. We'll grab Carol here in just a minute. Go ahead, Nathan.
Okay. Well, it's just that, you know, first of all, I don't think there's a single person on the face of the earth that doesn't have needs.
There you go. Yeah. Right on.
I mean, we all have specific needs. Sometimes there's a need for a financial miracle.
Right.
Sometimes there's a need for a medical miracle.
Right.
Sometimes there's a need for an emotional miracle or a relationship miracle. But we all have needs.
Absolutely.
But when we go to God, sometimes we just say, God bless me.
Right.
And that's just a general term. God is blessing you. He blessed you when you woke up in the morning, had breath.
Right. You know? Exactly.
I mean, that he did bless you. But we need to be specific when we approach God, so that we know that he answered our prayer.
Absolutely. Don't you wonder, Nathan, how many people lose out on so many blessings, so many answers, because they never, ever learn how to pray or even desire to pray?
Yes.
I do too. Carol, are you there?
Yeah, good afternoon to both of you and to the listening audience.
Darling. Hey, sweetie.
It's beautiful in Georgia today.
It's pretty nice here, too, really.
And I guess wherever God is, it is beautiful.
Amen. We got some clouds, but that's okay, you know.
Well, you probably need a little raindrop or something.
Probably we do, yeah. Carol, you've heard what we've been talking about and how important it is. And our first point we want to make today on the show is that God expects us to be specific with our prayers. Not just, like Nathan just said, God bless me today. He wants, you know, if you want God to use you today to help someone, be specific. Talk to me about that, Carol, and then we'll get back to Nathan on it.
Well, you really do have to be specific. Well, God knows everything we need, and the things that we don't need, he still wants us to ask for them.
Yes, he does.
You know, just like your earthly parents know when you need new pajamas, or they know when you need to be fed, or they know when you need to be at a certain place at a certain time.
Right.
But then there's some things they want you to ask for from them, and that would be, Mommy, can I have a kiss tonight? before I go to bed. Daddy, could you come tuck me in?
Yeah.
Those little things that children ask for that are probably sometimes incidental. Well, some of the things we ask for of God are sometimes incidental.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be able to tell him specifically what we want, although he knows it ahead of time.
Well, I think it's interesting that Hannah got very specific. Nathan, I'll direct this to you. Since you're both on the phone today, I'm going to have to call you by name, you know, that kind of thing. You guys know how it goes if you're here. And by the way, Carol, very glad you and Maxine were here on our anniversary Sunday, and you got to be right here in the studio with us for the first time, didn't you?
It was wonderful. I really enjoyed it, and Maxine enjoyed it, and it was such a pleasure to be there live on the show from, you know, from the originating area.
Right.
And know that for the time that we were in there, those 2 hours, which always just fly so
fast. Fly, yes.
But we're actually in a place where God was at that moment, indwelling all of us there.
Yes.
And letting us speak his words to his people.
Oh, it's a joy. I say this all the time, but it's one of the highlights of my week every week is this show and having that ability to share God's word. So back to that question, Nathan. Now, the specific prayer thing is really something I think people get hung up on, don't you?
Yes, I do. I think sometimes we're afraid fear enters in.
Yes.
And it keeps us from being specific because we're afraid that God won't answer.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're afraid that if we pray for something specifically, that God will not give it to us.
Exactly. And that he doesn't care about those kinds of specific things.
That's right. He doesn't care about that. I mean, as long as we've got a roof over our head and we're fed and all the basic needs are met, that's what he cares about. You know, people think, you know, they need a car, but maybe God wants them to walk.
Right. I mean, in other words, so often we feel like God is mad at us is the way we act a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
We act he's not our loving, good, heavenly Father. Talk to me about that, Carol, because I think that's a big problem for a lot of our listening audience. Just don't think God cares that much about the details.
So you're trying to tell me, as well as Nathan is, that God actually knows all of the people.
He knows everybody.
He knows what they want, what they need, and he will hear every person that asks.
Everyone. Isn't that mind-boggling? I mean, really.
Concept, you know? I find it so interesting, you know, and speaking of fear, it's false evidence appearing real.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What that boils down to. And sometimes I think people are fearful that God doesn't hear them because they've been rogues and roguettes. They've walked totally out of accordance with him.
Right.
So, and they've done everything to deny him in their lives, whether it be from their young life, middle, or whatever. They've denied his presence. They don't need him until the moment they need him.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment they need him, they're not really sure he's going to hear.
Because they haven't developed a relationship with him.
Because they have not developed a relationship. I have heard people pray in my presence and ask me to pray with them and for them, as both of you have, who have said, Lord, you don't know who I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I have heard that, Carol.
Yeah. Then they're fearful. You know, how many times have both of you encountered people who said, would you pray for me? I don't know how to pray.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Would you introduce me to God? I think he has forgotten me.
Yes, yes, yes.
He doesn't, number one, he doesn't forget us. He waits for us in our time to come to him.
He does. Yes. And, you know, maybe, and let me just say this. I think I've heard a lot of people through the years say, I don't need to ask God for that. He knows I need it. But that's not the way he set it up. I'm going to quote both of you. James 4, 2, and 3 in the NIV, and then I want both of you to comment on this. James 4, 2, and 3 says this, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Nathan, go first.
Oh, geez, thanks.
All right, sorry about that, brother.
That's okay. Well, first of all, we have not because we ask not, because we don't go to God and ask for things.
Right.
We don't ask God for something because we want it. We don't, and maybe we just want it for selfish pleasure.
Right.
You know, and if we want it for selfish pleasure, or we want something to the detriment or the harm of others, then, you know, God's not going to give us that.
Right.
You know, because God loves everybody. He doesn't want to harm anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
wrong motives.
He doesn't want to harm you.
Well, is that where you get the wrong motives? When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on your own pleasures?
Right, exactly.
And you know what? I think a lot of people get caught up in that. Their motives, their heart is just, ugh. You know, it's just kind of polluted, and it's full of, well, I want so-and-so to see what it feels like to, rah, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. Carol, talk to me. Talk to us.
We're very selfish people.
Yes, we are.
We live in a me society.
Yes, we do.
I don't give two hollers and a toot about you nor anybody else. This
two hollers and a toot.
And I'm going to live it the way I want to. Really? Well, people, you need to get a reality check because it doesn't work that way.
No,
and
it doesn't.
People grow up that way in their families, though. Many families get what they want at the expense of somebody else.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Many families cut other families down.
Right.
Because of what they have. Well, look at the Joneses over there. They just got a new house. Don't they think they're hotty-totty?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, when you have a child grow up in that kind of an attitude.
Yes.
That's what that child is going to take in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing in the opposite. Like you and Nathan grew up as the parent. Your parents were pastors. You look at that, and you grew up in a house that said, no, son, leave that last pork chop for the traveler coming through.
That's right.
No, honey, we're gonna put you on the floor in Mom and Dad's room tonight because we've got visitors coming.
That's
that
right,
are
really.
Traveling for the Lord.
I can't tell you how many times that happened to me growing up, Nathan. I don't know about you, but it did. We had traveling people, evangelists, and people all the time. So, yeah, good point, Carol.
Well, I know that Maxine and I, when we had our home in Florida, it was an open home for any traveler of the Lord Jesus Christ that needed a comfortable, warm place to stay, a comforting place. We even, and I think you saw this, Pastor, in our yard, we had three benches around our yard in hidden little garden areas.
Yeah, I did.
And that was specifically for the travelers, the emissaries of Christ, who called and said, can I come? We said, the door is open, come. And we showed them those places, and this is your place of quiet reflection and meditation. We will not disturb you there. You know, when a meal is ready, I'll gently ring a bell.
Yeah.
You can answer or not. But what we have to take into consideration is that we can't do anything on this earth by ourselves, period, whatsoever. Never once have I healed somebody.
Right.
I have prayed for their healing. But Carol herself does not heal somebody or any animal.
Right.
I have never been able to change somebody's attitude simply because they heard me ask them to do it.
Right.
It has to be a show-and-tell kind of situation with some people.
Yeah.
And I think that's what God wants us to do, is to show-and-tell, direct, and guide all to him.
Well, I agree with that. And there's so many times we need to be speaking boldly. You know what? God does answer prayer, and it's based in how much he loves you. He loves you so very much. He wants to meet your need. And I think too often we have just put up with somebody on the other side of that argument or that statement saying, well, I don't know. I've been pretty bad. I've done this. I've done that, you know, and not really begin to show them how much God really loves them and wants to do that. Nathan, talk to me about that before we get to the next song.
Well, it's like you said, you know, the naysayers.
Right.
There are many influences in our lives as we grow up.
Right.
And even as adults, there are many influences in our lives. Many people come our way. And there's leadership that are influences and that are naysayers.
Oh, absolutely.
Well.
Yes.
You know, that says, well, God's not going to answer your prayer, or that unless you're this, or this, this, and this, you know, you got to be in perfect standing with God. You can't have sin in your life. You can't, you know, all kinds of things like that. All kinds of negative things. There are negative reasons why God will not answer your prayer. You know, we hear it all the time.
We do.
We hear it all the time.
And that's why we had to have our minds renewed to his nature.
Exactly. Exactly.
Talk about that, Carol.
Well, I think the negative influences are sometimes right from the pulpits, and I'm not trying to blind any pastor, regardless of what denomination or the gender they may serve. It has to do with, like Nathan was speaking earlier, the hellfire damnation type preaching. You take a little kid that's just left their Sunday school class, and now they're sitting in the sanctuary with their parents or guardians, whomever, and they keep hearing how bad they are, and you know, as a congregation, as a group of people, pretty soon that begins to weigh heavy. And as that child begins to grow into the different years, here's the thought: I can't do anything right, so why does God care what I do?
Good point.
Know, and instead of saying, you know, we all have sinned, we all have stepped away from Christ at one time or the other, but the redeeming factor in the good news is we can go back.
Amen.
Exactly.
It's a reverse trip. We can go back.
We can go back. Fresh start.
We can go back, be renewed again.
Amen.
And we can sing songs of praise, and God is forgiving. How on earth do we have the presumptuous attitude of saying to somebody, you better forgive me, I forgive you, and you've got that finger going in their chest, when we are taught by some pastors and some preachers and some evangelists and some lay people, we are taught God doesn't love a sinner.
Right.
God will not forgive you because you are a sinner.
Right.
Instead of making it, you know, we've all stepped out of grace.
Yes.
And we all need to ask for wisdom and mercy and forgiveness and hope. And we need to renew the loving part of God in our heart. How hard is it for a person going in surgery that is fearful of surgery simply because they aren't, quote, right with God?
Right. Absolutely.
And people are said to them as they, you know, people come in and say, well, I hope you're right with God, because if you're not, this is going to be a tough surgery, Jack.
Yeah.
You know?
I know, yeah.
Instead of going in and say, let me lead you into a peace and comfort right now with the presence of Jesus Christ with you.
Amen.
He will
Amen.
Control your heartbeat. He will be in this room. He will direct every hand that touches you.
Woo!
You are in the best place you could be today. You are standing in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And knowing that he loves us and accepts us and forgives us, and that none of us are perfect, and none of us can stand and say, you know, I've never done this or that. A lot of times we've got to come to that point where we just realize God loves us just where we are right now. You know, he's still working on me. He's still working on me. Listen to this song by Mandisa, Overcomer.
People drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope. Coming!
Wow. You're an overcomer. You're not, oh my, you're not going under. Hang on. Hang on to his promises. Woo! Praise God. Hang on to his promises. That's what Hannah did. And in the end of verse 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, it said, God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. In response to what she had asked. She was an overcomer. She chose to overcome all that disdain from Penina, all that making fun of her, all of those years of sadness and grief because she had not had any children. She chose to come specifically to the throne of grace and ask God her heart's desire. I'm going to read this out of Psalm 37, then Carol, I want to ask you, and then Nathan. Psalm 37:3 says this, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I really do think that that's the life I'm living right now.
Amen.
I know it's life that you're living. I know it's life that Nathan is living.
Right.
You know, we trust in the Lord.
Amen.
We know that he will give us the desires of our heart.
Yes.
Because the desires of our hearts don't cost anything.
Right.
Monetarily. How much can you pay for peace?
Ooh, there you go, Carol.
How much can you pay for blessings?
Right.
How much can you pay for wisdom and knowledge and strength?
Right.
How much can you pay for hope?
Right.
I don't pray for hope just for myself. I pray for hope for everybody that I pass that I
Amen.
Know is downtrodden. Some I don't know. I don't even know if they're downtrodden, but I look in their faces and their eyes, and there's no life. There's no joy. There's nothing but a vacant spot. So that tells me, in my small mind of thinking, I must pray for hope for that person.
Amen.
Renewed hope. It was there one time. Let's put it back.
Well, you know, go ahead.
Those things we cannot pay for.
Right. Good point.
So when we ask for things for ourselves, you know, we, like Nathan said, we may have a time that on this earth that money is short and days are long and food is sparse. And we know, we three know, if we ask the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I don't have any money and my cupboard is empty. Can you help me?
Been there, done that.
Let me tell you something. I will guarantee you that some angel of God will show up
amen.
With a spoonful of food to feed you.
Yeah.
And sometimes that spoonful may not be actual food, but it might be a blessing from Christ that says, fear not. I am with you always. I know your situation. It could come in a word from somebody. Whatever. It could be a plate of food. I've been there, folks. I know he does it.
Yes, he does. Nathan talked to us about this being an overcomer and choosing to believe like Hannah did. She went out on a limb, Nathan. She went out of a limb to be ridiculed, you know, more by her family. Go ahead.
She had a mindset change.
Oh, she did. Oh, there you go, brother.
She had a mindset change. She went from a place of doubt to a place of believing.
Amen.
And, you know, every child of God is, by the fact that they're born of God because of Jesus Christ, they're already an overcomer.
Right.
But how many of them don't feel like it?
Don't feel like it, and they don't even know it.
And don't know it. Don't act like it.
Right.
But, you know, our very nature is overcomer.
Right.
Because we have the Son of God living inside of us.
Amen.
And he said, fear not, for I've overcome the world.
Amen.
So, you know, there's nothing in this, there's no weapon formed against us that to prosper.
Amen.
There's nothing that the enemy can do that he can get away with if we stand in our overcoming capacity.
Amen. You know, Nathan and Carol, I think that even though this scripture wasn't written at the time yet of Hannah, but David said it so beautifully that we just read in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And we sometimes think God's mad at us and doesn't want to give us what we need or what our what are our desires? You know what I'm saying, Carol? Even though I just stepped all over that.
That's okay. We can get your tongue out of the mouth.
All right. But there's so...
The desires of our hearts should be a constant longing to be more like Jesus.
Right.
To say to people who don't know him, this is what you don't have to go through. You can change this. You can be an overcomer in your own situation, but you first have to admit that you need a lot of help, and you can't do it by yourself. Mm-mm. There's nothing you can do totally by yourself, because sometimes you'll stumble and fall and take other people with you.
Okay. Do you think that a lot of people believe that God does not want to give them their desires, that he just wants to have them settle for second, third, fourth best? But like here we've got Hannah saying, God, I want a child, and I want a male child, and when I get this little boy, I'm going to give him back to you. That is very specific prayer. That was the desire of her heart. And, you know, she had not had any children. So, I mean, the track record for that to happen was not good. There had to be doubt that she had really had to deal with. Nathan, talk about that, and then we'll be back to Carol on it.
Well, I think initially there was doubt, you know, before this time when she came before the Lord and presented her case the way that she did.
Right.
And you know, she presented her case, and when she and Eli came in agreement,
right,
she had confidence that God had heard her, and his answer was yes.
Yes, yes. And it says here, they worship God, she and Elkanah, in verse 19. They worship God, and then they went back home. So after this prayer of agreement, then they got into a time of worshiping and thanking God, worshiping God for who he was before they saw the answer. Then they went back home. But first, they stopped and took time to worship. Carol, talk to me about that, because I think that's a critical key to getting the desires of our hearts answered.
I think first you need to declare to yourself what you really want.
Right.
What you want.
Get specific.
Change, you know, what's the desire of your heart?
Right.
And then I think you need to really reach down deep inside your soul and know that there was a seed of hope placed there.
There you go.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have had doubt.
All right. Good point.
I think a seed of hope pushes doubt away.
Amen.
And when people can change that for you. They can keep saying, like they probably did to Hannah, girlfriend, let me tell you the news here. You're never going to have any children.
never had any.
You keep talking about to everybody.
Right.
All of us gathered around the water well, and you keep talking to us about having a baby.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's obvious you're not going to have one.
Mm-hmm. You know that happened. You know, because that's human nature. People are negative. Penina probably did that to her all the time.
You know, the woman with five or six children or more is saying, girl, take a look at you. You're not going to have any. Look at me, and I'm going to gloat about each one of mine. They may be rogues, but I'm going to brag on them. And that's what was happening at that well.
Yeah.
Every time she went to the village well to bring water home, and don't you know that after a while that carrying that jar got up empty up there got to be a heavy burden.
Sure.
Of here I go again to listen to these flapping lips, and I don't know what they keep dogging me for. I'm going to declare them to be bullies in my life. And because of that, I'm going to believe God even stronger, harder, further,
that I'm going to
produce a child, a son, because I'm going to ask for one.
Woo! You know what that's called? That's called fearless confidence. Go ahead.
That's right.
He will give me that baby.
Yes.
And can you imagine when she walked back with the baby, that time, first time she took him out, she walked back there probably pretty smug, didn't have to say a word. To do with the glory of God in her arms.
Woo! And you know, the scripture says that after that, she and Elkanah had three more sons and two daughters.
Yes.
Grace, five more kids. Woo, woo. So look at that, will you? And so here we have specific prayer, Carol, getting specific, you know, and saying, God, here's what I need. You know, like when my kids are traveling on the road, Carol, you and I, we always write out the prayers. But last week when my granddaughter and her fiance and the babies were here, for the trip, they drove straight through. They drove straight back through. They made record time to Indiana, crazy kids. But anyway, we specifically prayed for them to be totally protected, no car trouble, no problems, that the babies would be fine, everybody would be good, no accidents, anything. Specific prayer.
Well, you know, I'm going to brag a little bit on the Beacon of Hope prayer ministry.
You can.
At this moment, because I can tell you, since I write some and Pastor Jim writes some, every prayer that comes out of Beacon of Hope prayer ministry is specific.
It's
not generalized.
Right.
It's not like, oh, take care of all of the women that don't have babies and you know, let's let them be fertile and produce. No, it'll be like a specific prayer. You know, Martha wants a child. Martha has not been able to conceive. Lord, you know, we would like for you to follow through with the promise that you gave to Martha when she was a young girl. There
right.
will be child forthcoming.
Yeah.
And when we pray specifically for illnesses.
Right.
I don't make a generalized prayer. Oh, take care of good old Ned. He's a good old boy.
No.
you know, if he's got a problem, you know, like big toe they're going to cut off, I don't worry about that. No, it's
specific.
Ned needs this. Ned needs that. We need this from the medical community. We need this from the friends and family.
Yeah.
And for the friends and family.
Amen.
So I think that's, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I think that's one reason our prayers get specifically answered.
Amen.
Yes, they do.
I mean, how many times can we, as a church and a prayer ministry, say, well, you know, we asked the Lord for several prayers, and I guess he's on vacation.
Right. That doesn't happen, does it?
No.
Never.
I mean,
look
at all the victories through Christ.
Oh, my.
Beacon of Hope has had just these few short 11 months.
Right. It's just been tons. I mean, we've had the prayer ministry for a while, but you know, last weekend, Carol, we had a high water mark of 34 prayer requests from different people, different states in a like a 48-hour period of time or 24-hour period of time, I guess, really, but 24 hours. It was just crazy. That's a lot. That was our high water mark. And people use our prayer line. That's what we have it for. Prayers at BOHMGlobal.com stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries.com. And Nathan, are you signing off here at 5?
Yes, I am.
I want to give you an opportunity to say one last thing before we go to station ID.
Well, I just thank God for the lessons today. I thank God for what you're teaching today because I believe it's very important that people realize, first of all, that God does love them, that God is interested in their specific needs, and that his answer when we pray is yes and amen.
Yes, amen.
When we come to him specifically, we can expect specific answers.
Amen, brother. Okay, well, and you're an answer to prayer, and I thank God for you, and we love your ministry among us. And, you know, we did one of your songs you wrote today at Beacon, Pray Until Something Happens.
Yes.
And what a great song. It's on your CD. If people want that, they can write us at info@bohmglobal.com. Get a copy of Nathan's CD. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Great songs, all original, all written by Nathan in our services, actually, through the years. So go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and request that you get a CD. And we'll be happy to make that happen. So, Nathan, thank you very much. Carol, stay on with me. We're going to station ID. Talk later, Nathan.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Love it. Okay, here we are again. Beacon of Hope Ministries, living the good life. And on our second hour, every Sunday, two-hour show starts at 3 now. Used to be at 4. It's now at 3. 3 to 5 every single Sunday afternoon. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and want to actually check it out on the computer, it's live streamed around the world, www.tantalk1340.com. I'm going to give that to you again. Instead of listening on the radio, you can actually usually get a better signal, tantalk1340.com. But it's live streamed around the world. With me today is one of our team members. And really, you and Pastor Jim are the prayer ministry, even though we have a big prayer team, don't we, Carol, that people can join?
We have a very large prayer team that people can join. And we have people from all over the United States and even some out of the country. And it's just a desire of someone's heart to be able to serve the Lord. Maybe they're, you know, in at home and they can't get out. They're an invalid and can't leave, or simply they don't know what else to do to serve the Lord, and they just ask him, and he says, pray.
Amen.
So if they join, you know, I write the prayers, Pastor Jim writes the prayers, we send them to people on the prayer team, and it travels all over the place. We are receiving, as you said, from last week, we are receiving prayers from many, many, many states, which means to me that somebody is getting the message out there that Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida is a church of powerful prayers.
Amen. Praise God. That's a good thing to be known for, don't you think?
Oh, gosh, yes. And our prayer team members are scattered all over the place.
They are.
And they are strong. They are mighty. They are convicted in their souls to do this for
us. Yes.
You know, sometimes you don't have money to contribute to a cause, or you can't get to a place physically to help somebody. But it doesn't take anything to lift your hands up and say, Father,
praise
I
God.
Know what to pray. I just ask you to watch over them.
Woo! And you can join our prayer team today. Just send a prayer. Just send an email to prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com. We used to say Beacon of Hope Ministries, but that's pretty long. If you still have that address in your computer, it works too. But we have shortened it so that it's easier to remember. BOHM, which stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries Global, bohmglobal.com. Send a request. Carol and PJ, Pastor Jim, will get you on the prayer team. And no questions asked. We want you to be on. And we'll get those requests out to you. And I agree, Carol, what a magnificent part, a branch of this ministry that the prayer team is. And, you know, knowing the serious things that are happening in people's lives that we come in contact with. Yesterday, Carol, on a listing appointment, I already told you this, but this gentleman was somebody I'd sold a home to maybe 10 years ago, called me to come list the house. And found out that his 2-year-old daughter is very, very ill. And that prayer request I gave you about an hour ago, which will go out soon.
Yes, she has Pfeiffer's syndrome.
Pfeiffer's, okay. And it's not too big for God. And he asked us to pray. And I said, we will definitely get your little girl on our prayer team, prayer request board, and get it going. And that's what we're doing. So dear ones, whatever your request is, or maybe somebody you know, say my cousin so-and-so or whatever, send it in and a prayer will be written, and then you will get a response from us. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Let's go to the song, great song again by the group Big Daddy Weave, Maker of the Wind.
Waters all around, but here I am on solid ground as you reach down to me. And if you were on my side, whom shall I fear? And I know the maker of the wind, the master of the waves, the giver of my sin.
Yeah.
the maker of the wind and the master of the waves. That's God Almighty, Prince of Peace. That's who we know. Oh, praise God. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We've been talking about how Aunt Hannah specifically asked God for a son. And in verse 19, we find that God began to set everything in motion to do what she had asked. You know, sometimes his timing is not our timing, but he began to set everything in motion, put all the pieces together. And before a year was out, she gave birth to a little boy and she named him Samuel. And in the Message Bible, that's translated, "I ask God for him." So every time she called his name, Carol, she was saying, "I ask God for you, little guy. I ask God for you, Samuel." I mean, that was his name. I ask God for him. You know, it reminded that little boy that God was constantly being, he was being reminded all the time that God had answered prayer. That is so cool.
Well, you know, the name Hannah is graced and favored at the Lord.
Amen. Yes. And look at that. Yes. Praise God. Woo. So,
how many people who have children or grandchildren and greats and go on that way, or anybody that's in the presence of a child that's in their family, how many of them have not said, "I ask God for this baby. I ask God for this child to come into the family and be welcomed and loved by the family."
Right.
If we can't do that, we don't even need to consider having children in my...
Well, you know, there's people out there that it happens to them and they didn't expect it, you know.
Horror story of the year, talking about favoring and loving children. In Atlanta last week, a 10-year-old girl lived with her natural father and her stepmother. And it had been a situation back and forth and back and forth of defects, children's coming in and checking and so forth, and thing being sent to her grandmother and sent and pulled back from the grandmother. Grandmother wanted her desperately, kept being pulled back. They found her body.
Oh, no.
In a trash can, completely burned.
Yeah. I tell you, the world is full.
Her father did it.
Woof.
How can we say that we can ask for a child and then destroy it in such a manner?
I know, but the world is full of all that the devil does, you know.
Oh, yeah. People up here have come to these, and they've had a reckoning and asking, you know, openly they're saying, "For Lord, please protect the children."
Right.
From the idiocy of some people.
Right. Absolutely.
The mental illness of some people.
Right.
You know, we have to pray protection over children every single day.
Right. Well, I think that Hannah probably did. And what's interesting about her is that when she asked God for this little boy, specific prayer, she also said, "And God, when you give him to me, I'm going to give him back to you," which is so interesting here. If you ask me, we are in chapter 1, about verse 23. And here she is. She has given birth to little Samuel, and they're getting ready to go up to Shiloh to do the annual sacrifice again. And she says to her husband, Elkanah, "I'm not going right now. I'm not going until the child is able to be weaned. And then I'll go up." And Elkanah was in total agreement with her. And in verse 23, he says, "Yes, let God complete what he has begun." And so Elkanah was in tune enough to know that God began this situation with little Samuel and had been able to conceive this child. And now here he is. He's very, very small. And Elkanah, the husband, says, "I'm in agreement with that. Let's wait until we can take him up there and give him to God." And for most of us parents, it would be extremely hard to take a little child up and leave them in the care of the priest. But that is what Hannah and Elkanah did. Most commentaries think Samuel was either 3 or 5 years old when they did this. At either rate, that is very, very young. And yet Elkanah says, "All right, let's let God do what he's going to do." And so Hannah stayed home and nursed her child and weaned him. And then it came time to take him up. Carol, this had to be very hard. I mean, even parents that lose children to say, "Oh my, okay, I just give them into God's hands because they're gone," like this child you were just talking about. It's that giving, you ask God, but then you give him back, you know?
Yes, I think Hannah had a great premonition of
she knew
who he would be.
She knew. I agree. You know, she knew.
And if every parent had a premonition of who their children would be, we would probably see more people offering their children back to God as a gift to themselves and to the rest of the world, because that child would be totally under the tutelage of the Lord.
But, Carol, so often it's very hard, and I can speak as a parent and a grandparent, that it's very hard sometimes to say, okay, God, here's this child. Maybe this child's got all kinds of issues going on in their life. Lord, I don't know what to do. I need your wisdom on how to handle it, and I put that child in your hands. And Hannah did that, but she also physically, it's one thing to do it emotionally and spiritually, give your child to God. It's another thing, the way this situation evolved in 1 Samuel, where she had to actually become so obedient that she took him to the priest Eli and said, here he is, raise him up to become the judge, the priest of God that he's going to be. That's huge. It took a lot of faith, don't you think, Carol, and strength and courage for Hannah to do this?
I think, of course, it did. But she knew in her heart, you know, how do we know that the Spirit of the Lord had not spoken to her and said, I will get, you know, maybe she felt it internally, I will give you the child, but he will be returned to me.
I do believe that is what happened, just like with Mary. Okay.
Yeah.
Like she's a type of Mary having received the implanted child within her by the Holy Spirit. She had him for a period of time. Then she, at the foot of the cross, gave him back to God the Father and said, there he is, you know?
Right.
It's the same type of thing, only Hannah only had little Samuel probably 3 years or 5 years.
You know, sometimes we have to give children away in order to get them back.
Right.
We have to, like you said, open our hand up and do the, you know, say, Lord, we've done the best we can. We don't know what else to do. This child is, you know, 18 years old. I experienced that in July.
Right. Yes, you did with your.
I finally had to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've prayed for this child since she was 8 weeks old, and 2 weeks old in my front yard.
Right.
The yard sale in Florida. And Maxine and I both prayed for that child and over that child. And she came to live with us, and I realized that she was of the world. There was nothing I could do to change that except to give her back and say, Lord, she's yours.
Right.
I know that you can change her. I know that you can melt her heart into a heart. She has a big, huge heart for people. I said, meld her into the child you want her to be.
Amen.
You know, I'm taking myself out of it. And I think that's what parents have to do sometimes, Pastor.
Oh, I agree.
You know?
I agree. Well, I've had to do that. You know that
sure,
in my story, in my situation with one of my children. And it reminds me of this verse, Carol, and I want you to comment on it. It's Philippians 1:6, and I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. It says this: there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. In other words, Paul says here in the book of Philippians, God who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Doesn't that give us hope?
It definitely gives us hope. And I think in your particular case, we both know that the child you're speaking of has been touched by God in ways
absolutely
that are profoundly life-changing
right
in a very good way. But in the world, it's a different story. Life has to be different in the world if you're going to live in the world.
Right.
And there will come a time, you know, you have given her away and you've opened your hand up to her and said, fly.
Right.
Fly where you have to go. But you know, deep in your mother's heart and deep in the heart of a pastor, you will get that child back. God will receive that child and take them back to you again. You will live long enough to see it.
I believe that, even though she's going through some very, very difficult times again.
Yes, she is. But those are things that are in the world. But one of these days, she's going to cry out, remember this. Remember when she used to write the name Jesus in certain places?
Absolutely, she did.
And, you know, and scripture.
You know, Carol, this morning as I was talking about little Samuel, I suddenly saw the picture, and I mentioned it in my sermon this morning. I saw the picture of her dad and I standing in my dad's church in Stuart, Florida, in 1976 when she was about 3 months old. And we stood there that day. We had made a trip from Indiana to Florida, and our oldest son, our Ryan, was with us. He was two. And she was in my arms, and we were standing there, and my dad talked about dedicating her to the Lord, giving her to God. And this morning, Carol, when I started to teach on this, I suddenly saw that picture again. I know the outfit I had on. I know where I was standing in my dad's church when all this took place, and when my dad came and laid hands on her and prayed over us that we would be the parents that we needed to be to raise this child up in the way that she should go. And yet she has struggled and struggled and struggled through years with addictions, and that's another show, another time. But here we are, and here I am one more time at this age saying, okay, God, she's in your hands, you know? That's, and I saw that picture this morning, Carol, and I told my congregation, I remember that so distinctly. And it's very hard for parents to say, okay, God, here. I mean, that doesn't mean we quit loving them. That doesn't mean we quit talking to them or seeing them. It means that we realize that we can't fix it, whatever it is. And we have got to give them to God.
Do you see what he did to you this morning?
Yeah.
He reminded you once again of
I do.
That time.
I do.
When that child was dedicated to him.
Yes, I do.
By the father that you love so very much.
Yes.
And the father that pastored you and taught you
yes.
ways of God.
Yes.
Now, he reminded you of that because he will return her.
I agree.
And we know as long as we keep praying and praying in the spirit for her.
Yes.
Her life will be totally protected. It may get ugly looking sometimes, but people, I'm going to tell you something. Regardless of how your life looks, regardless of the situation you're in, regardless how hopeless it is, all you have to remember is your baptism in Christ.
Yeah, and know that he loves you and cares about you.
And he will protect you from situations that are so unreal that your mind can't conceive.
Amen. And, you know, I really believe that as a mother, as a parent and a grandparent, and now a great-grandparent, it is hard for me sometimes to realize that God only expects me to give them to him and trust him, you know, to do what needs to be done in their lives and quit stewing and being anxious and upset and worried about them. And Carol, I think our listening audience needs to hear that today, because I didn't intend this discussion to go that direction. But there's got to be a lot of people out there that have wayward children or have grandchildren that are in all kinds of trouble, whatever the case may be. And we've got to learn how to say, okay, God, here they are. Like Hannah did with Samuel. God, I present this child to you.
Yes. You know, we don't know the circumstances under which she lived totally. But she had evidently.
You mean Hannah?
Yeah. Well, but she had evidently been able to say to God in her longing for a child and in the desires of her heart, if you give me a child, if you bless me with a child, Father,
right.
I will dedicate that child back.
Absolutely.
To you.
And that's the message we have to give today, that whatever, dear listener, you are going through with a family member, a child, a parent even, maybe it's one of your parents, I mean, maybe whatever, a spouse or, you know, maybe an estranged spouse, whatever the situation is, God does not expect you to be the one to fix it. And believe me, that's been a hard lesson for me, hasn't it, Carol, as you mentor
yes,
me?
It has been.
I mean, it's hard to let go and say, okay, God, there she is. Okay, but there she is.
It's a matter of faith.
Right.
You are finally realizing, as loving as you are to your kids, and I know that you are finally realizing nothing on this earth that you can say or do will help them except to pray for them. Open your hand up and let them go. They've got to make their mistakes. They've got to live and experience life so they will have the full and complete meaning of what coming to Christ is.
Amen. Woo!
They've got to understand they're not going to get to heaven through your portal.
Right. They've got to come to their own understanding.
They've got to.
Listen to this song by Christian Stanfill, One Thing Remains.
Thank you. one thing remains. This one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love. And on it goes. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I'll never ever have to be afraid. 'Cause this one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. I know my death is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. And on and on and on and on it goes. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I'll never ever have to be afraid. 'Cause this one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. No, no, your love never fails and never gives up and never.
That's a cool song. I've never heard that. Your love never fails, never gives up, and never runs out on me. That's because God loves us so very much. Dear listener, today, God loves you so very much and cares about the issues going on in your life. And we are talking today about being specific in our prayers, coming to God like Hannah did and saying, God, here's what I need and here's why. Being specific. And then number two, realizing that it's a process. Things happen. Sometimes we don't get the answers we want in the time frame, but God tells us in Psalm 37 that as we trust in the Lord, I'm going to read it one more time, Psalm 37, 3-5, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't say he might give you those desires. He says he will as you are delighting in him. And that is the key right there, Carol. As we are delighting in him, committing our way to him and trusting him, it's something, it's an if-then thing. As we delight ourselves in him, as we commit our children to him, as we commit our circumstances to him, our work, our relationships, whatever it is, as we do that, we trust in him, he's going to give us the desires of our hearts. That is scriptural. That is Psalm 37. That's what happened here with Hannah, Carol, and I think it's so beautiful, this example of how Elkanah, her husband, got on board with this and said, hey, I'm in agreement with that. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do this together. Praise God for that prayer, that power of prayer of agreement. Go ahead.
Well, it also gave to him power among his peers.
This is true.
He was a bigger man. He was a man that believed in God at that,
right.
that he would allow his son. His son with her to go and serve the Lord.
That's true. Good point.
Lord and serve the Lord.
Right.
And that had to have made his neighbors look and go, wow, can you believe this guy? Look at what he did.
Oh, amen.
Took away his inheritance of his child.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, what a big man he was to have done that. What faith, what courage. And we can only hope that he had faith and courage.
I believe he did from things it says
and,
here
you know,
he said.
When you were speaking of Psalm 37, I would like to say that I think Psalm 37, at this juncture anyway, is a prayer of approval for parents to live their own lives. A prayer of approval for parents to say, I'm dedicating myself. I've dedicated my children.
Right.
I've spent all these years in worry about my children, and some people worry to the very grave of their children.
Oh, I know. They do. Yes.
But is that a faith journey? When
right.
You, when a person does that, that they think they can only be the one that gets their child in a right position. They're the ones that
good
can
point,
cure
Carol.
Their child. No, I think it's time for parents to realize you open your hand up like that old proverbial saying about butterfly. If it flies away, it'll come back.
Yeah.
But if you hold it and crush it, it'll die. You'll smother it to death. You know, I think, and I saw this in my own family. You can crush the life out of somebody trying to hold them down and
right.
And lead every part, even spoon feed them if necessary.
Control, control, control.
It is. You see, parents have to realize, and I watch so many things and read so many news articles and medical journals and all of those different things, the spiritual things about how parents try to change the lives of their children to lead it by example.
Right.
I'm saying to parents now, live your life. You've done what you can.
Right.
You've turned that child or children or whatever it is over to God. Let him do his work. And without you pulling on their coattails and providing salvation each time they run out of a dollar.
Right. Exactly. And that happens so often, and it's as a detriment to those kids. You know?
It is. I saw it happen in my own family with my own brother. He was never allowed to fail. If you cannot fail, you cannot understand what success is.
That's true.
You've got to let a child fail. You've got to let that child realize that there's a power greater than you from whom they must call.
Amen.
And my mother was not that way with my brother. And it caused his life to be absolutely disastrous. And praise God, he's turned his life over to God now. And he speaks to me now of what it was like to live in the world that he had because of his mother's squashed down, hold down hand on him constantly.
Wow.
And if it can happen to one person that I know, it's happening to many other people.
Well,
I have a lot of friends with children.
And Carol, this is right on. And I want to bring in Eli here, the priest, because this fits perfectly right here. Eli had two sons. And if you read on in 1 Samuel here, you're going to find out that the names of these two sons were Phinehas and Hophni. Okay. And these guys were not good guys. They had been spoiled brats, which you're talking about right here. Now, the Eli, the priest, who was the one who said to Hannah, you must be drunk. You know, what are you doing praying like that? Or what's going on? What are you saying? You're drunk. That very man must have been somewhat skeptical about the ways of the Lord, because look how his own sons turned out, you know, and again, we're not always responsible for how our children turn out, because all kinds of factors are not just the parents, you know.
Oh, but that's when you turn them over to God.
Right. But
God knows they're going to be wayward. He knew it before the parent knew it.
Exactly. But here's what I think very interesting. God is the God of the second chance, okay?
That's right.
Now, Hannah and Elkanah take their baby Samuel at age 3 or 5, and they give him to Eli to raise in the synagogue, in the ways of the Lord, bringing him up to be a priest and a judge. And we know from history that Eli lived about another 20 years and so had plenty of time to mold Samuel. And I think it's interesting because God is God of the second chance. And here Eli didn't do a very good job with Phinehas and Hophni. You know, these guys were rogues. You talk that, use your term, Carol. They were rogues, you know. They were doing all kinds of bad things. And yet now God gives Eli, shows how much he loved Eli, just how much he loves us. He gives Eli another chance and says, here's a baby. Here's this little baby who's 3 or 5 years old, Samuel. Here, raise him up to become the next judge of Israel, which is what he did. Isn't that beautiful, Carol? That God of the second chance thing. Whoa, I love that.
And yes, instead of punishing them and saying, look, you've got rogue sons.
Right.
I'm not putting another baby around you because
right.
obviously something's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of that, he said, I will provide you with another child and you raise him up.
Yes. Isn't that beautiful?
And that's, you know, that's what we have to do. When a parent finally sees a wayward child come home.
Right.
And sometimes that coming home is just a heart connection home.
Yeah.
But when that parent sees a child come home, it has to be a victorious day.
Yes.
It has to be a fall on your knees and praise God day.
Praise God, yes.
It has to be a day when you, as a parent, realize you've done the best you could, and look what happened. You let them go, and the Lord that saves us all didn't keep this promise from you. He saved your child. He found favor with you long time ago.
Well,
and with that child a long time ago.
It's like Eli had a redeeming opportunity. It was his defining moment, you know? Yeah. We're going to play that song in a few minutes. I love that song. But it talks about you get to a place, a crossroads in your life, okay? And you realize, like Hannah did, she couldn't put up with all the bad-mouthing her and teasing her and screaming at her because she didn't have any children and putting her down. And she got serious about her prayer request, made a specific request, told God, you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And there was a deal they made, and God fulfilled his part of the deal, and so did Hannah. And as a result of that, that little boy became the next judge of Israel and was a mighty man of God because of the obedience of the parents. And I think this is huge. Parents out there, I tell you, we all need to take our responsibilities very seriously, that God has put children, grandchildren in our lives for a reason, and we need to make the most of those opportunities.
Yeah. You know, instead of yelling and screaming at them
right.
all the time about get right, you're wrong, get your life together, instead of doing all that, this is how I taught my classroom. I never raised my voice in my classroom to my kids, ever, ever, ever. There isn't one that can ever say I did. I spoke to them in a voice of tenderness and kindness.
Right.
Because that's what the Lord told me to do. When I
right.
missed these kids in my classroom, I got the rogues of the world, trust me.
Yes.
Because they were handpicked and put in my classroom because of their attitudes.
Yeah.
And when they came out at the end of the term, they were different children. They did not see me scream and yell and put them down. They saw me encourage them. They saw me lift them up and say, you are so funny. You are so good. Whatever it was. And that's what we have to remember to do instead of bullying our kids and grandkids and great-grands and nieces and whatever. We have to let them know this is a place of peace. This is a house of comfort. I will be the one that will pray for you. But I'm going to let you make your own mistakes.
Right.
Because only by making those mistakes and asking God for help for yourself instead of me pounding him all the time for you, then you need to make it right with him. You sit down with God and you tell him where you think you're failing. What are your short points? And what do you desire? Not what Aunt Carol wants for you, or not what Mom wants for you or Dad wants for you.
Right.
What do you want? And you make your peace with God in your own way.
Allowing that child to grow up. And Hannah and Elkanah did that in verse 25 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. They take the little boy up to Shiloh to Eli the priest. And they say they butchered the bull. They brought the child to Eli. Hannah said, excuse me, sir. Would you believe that I'm the very woman who was standing before you at this very spot praying to God? I love this. She brings it right back to Eli. Hey, remember me? Hey,
yeah.
Eli, do you remember me? I'm the one that you
yep.
thought was drunk, you know? And she says, I prayed for this child and God gave me what I asked for. And now I have dedicated him to God. He's dedicated to God for life. And then what that does is throw them all into worship. Then and there, they worship God. Who is they? Eli the priest, Elkanah, and Hannah, and I believe little Samuel. And I believe all of them began to worship God. And then Hannah prays this prayer in chapter 2. talking about I'm bursting with God news. I'm walking on air and all of this. And we'll get into that in a minute. But it's the dedication happened. Here he is. Here's our son. We're fulfilling what we promised. And then they begin to worship God, Carol. They begin to just praise God. You know that they've done the right thing, you know?
Sure they do. And they realize what a gift this child is.
Right.
And know that God's hand is on him.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I think we need to give that to our own children.
Oh.
Know that God's hand is on them.
Right.
Nothing we can do to make it right or make it wrong. It's up to that child.
Right.
That child's relationship with Jesus Christ. You can do it all you want to and trying to hand feed them and everything, but it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
You've had to walk through your problems. I've had to walk through mine. I could have gone either way. You could have gone either way.
Right.
But we chose the way of the Lord because his hand was on us, whether we realized it or not.
Amen.
And his hand is on your daughter the same way.
Absolutely. And some of you out there in Radio Land need to be allowing God to do the work that is needed in the ones you are so concerned about. Could be a family member. It could be a child, a grandchild. It could be a spouse or maybe an estranged spouse. There is somebody in your life, I guarantee you, because we all have people in our lives that are not living the way God wants them to live. And we so often carry huge burdens of responsibility for thinking we could have changed something. We could have done something different. We could have, maybe this is my fault, this person's addiction or this person's emotional pain. And we take it on ourselves. And God simply says, bring them to me like Hannah and Elkanah brought little Samuel to him. Bring that child, that person, that loved one, that coworker, whoever it is, that former partner or spouse, bring them to me, says God, and leave them at my feet. Carol, that's easier said than done, isn't it?
Yes, it's a loss of control that parents don't.
Woo! Yeah.
You know, it's my baby. I had him. My husband and I had him. My spouse and I had him together. And doggone it, the world's not going to take this baby away from me. Oh, really? The world will take it faster than you say don't.
Right.
And you cannot prevent it if you just keep clamping down on them. They're going to bust out and go and see what the world's all about.
Boy, that's true.
Sometimes we have to say, go find your place.
Absolutely.
Find who you are. And, you know, especially I think that happens in churches, Pastor, when a family is, you know, has been one denomination for eons and ages. And then you've got a child that just doesn't really understand what's happening in that denomination. But they move to another one down the street, maybe a buddy's church or a friend's church or church from somebody else in the family, or nobody in the family attends a particular church there. And that person goes down, that child goes down, and finds a relationship with God in another denomination.
Right.
I don't think the family should castigate that child.
No.
Hey, they found God the same way you did, by seeking
right.
him.
Right.
They might have not been able to find him under the rock where you were sitting, but they found him.
Amen. That's
be
the important thing.
That the child found the Lord.
Right.
And serves the Lord.
Well, it's that giving that child, that person to God, like Hannah and Elkanah. This took a lot of courage, I think, Carol, for them to take that little 3 or 5 year old little boy and say to Eli the priest, here you go. Huh. Raise him up the way you feel led to do. Wow. Don't you think that's a huge step of courage?
Sure, and don't you know in their village, people looked at them with, kinky little eyeballs like...
Yeah, like, where's your son?
What did you do? Where'd you leave that boy?
Yeah.
You did what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that couldn't have been easy for especially family members.
Uh-uh.
But, you know, look what God did. He blessed them, and they had 5 more children, 3 more sons, 2 more daughters.
Yep.
One commentary thinks they had 7 total, that one did not live because of something that Hannah says here about 7, the mother of 7.
Yeah,
so
I saw that.
You saw that, too? So,
yes.
So probably there were 7. But look at that. Look at the blessing of the Lord. And look at Hannah's response. I'm bursting with God news. I'm walking on air. I'm laughing at my rivals. I'm dancing my salvation. Nothing and no one is holy like God. No rock mountain like our God. Don't dare talk pretentiously. Not a word of boasting ever. For God knows what's going on. He takes the measure of everything that happens. The weapons of the strong are smashed to pieces. while the weak are infused with fresh strength. Listen to this song, I Love It, by New Song, Defining Moment.
Every heart, a time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing how we will live our lives, all our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say,
defining moment. When you believe he's all you need, that's your defining moment. And when Hannah got serious about her request before God, got specific and said, God, if you do this, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give him to you because I'm going to trust you. Because you trust me with this child, I trust you with this child. And it became her defining moment, Carol. Woo!
In my commentary that I'm using today, the ESV Bible, chapter 2, verse 5-7, it says, Hannah actually only bore 6 children, including Samuel.
All right.
But this is the general statement, and 7 is a poetic number for perfection.
Okay. All right. Wow.
So we know who the perfect is.
Right. Amen. But look at that. I mean, what amazing thing. After Samuel, 5 more children, and 5 is the number of grace. So look at God's grace to her. 3 sons, 2 daughters. Oh, my. But it took her, and I love those words of that song, when you believe he's all you need, okay? Because she wasn't just bellyaching about this, not at all. In fact, it looks like she suffered for years in silence and put up with Penina's, you know, making fun of her and other people making fun of her. But when she got serious about this, and it says, when you believe he's all you need, that's your defining moment. And I love the words of Hannah right there that we just read, while the weak are infused with fresh strength. So sometimes we can be weak. We can be weak in our family relationships. We can be just beat down by life and what is happening to us and around us. But when we give that situation to God, we get infused with new strength, Carol. I love that. Let the weak say, I am strong, from Joel chapter 3, verse 10. Let the weak say, I am strong. Woo. Amen.
Well, God is strongest in our weakest moments.
Amen.
And once we realize that, that is a defining moment.
Yes, yes.
When you realize that you don't have to face fear of anything.
Right. Amen.
You know, I've coined this new phrase, and I'm going to speak it forever. When God is near, there is no fear.
Right.
And when you have gone through fearful times or gone through bullying or gone through whatever it is that has that society has thrown against you in all order to make you feel diminished, small, useless, worthless, no value at all, when God stands up and defends you and you realize he is defending you, and he gives you the strength to make that defense yourself, and you stay out to the people that are doing this stuff to you, you say, God is my strength and my refuge.
Amen.
My help in a very present time of need right now. And I command you, under God's strength given to me, to leave me alone, to fall away from me.
Right.
And I'm claiming that for my victory today. And
Amen.
When we do those things, people have to turn and run.
Right. Amen.
You cannot stand in the presence of Jesus Christ in somebody. When you and Jesus are together, you constitute a majority.
A majority, absolutely. Because, and I think that that is what Hannah and Elkanah realized, Carol,
yes.
that only God could do this miracle. They had been childless for a number of years, so only God could do this. And when we get to that place and we believe that he's all that we need, we believe that that's the answer. It's God, our relationship with God, trusting in him. Then look out, because there's going to be a divine shift like we talked about in the first hour today. There is going to be a shift that happens down on the inside of you and a shift that happens in your circumstances. Talk to me about that.
I think when you people as individuals finally realize that they are important to God, that he put them here for a purpose.
Right.
They weren't just a bit of dust that gathered up and created their being.
Right.
That they have a divine purpose to be here.
Amen.
The reason to be here.
Right.
And part of it, of course, is to live and die to self so that you can move to the realm of heaven that God offers.
Right. Right.
I think that's a very important concept that people need to get. And when somebody tells them, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are somebody.
Right.
You're a wonderful human being. Okay, so you've done some things that are out of kilter. Well, hello, we all have.
Right.
But I see in you these things. And when you start telling somebody those things, and you mean it with sincerity, they begin to accept it.
Right.
And then they will begin to listen. And then they will begin to say, can you tell me more? How do you know those things, Miss Witcher? How do you know those things?
Right.
Because I see you through the eyes of Jesus.
Amen. Woo. Amen.
And I want to know how important you are. You cannot leave this earth without knowing that he loves you.
Amen.
And you cannot leave this earth without knowing that you love him.
And that gives us hope, Carol. That gives us hope to know that God is working in our lives, cares about those details. And when we get serious about what the desires of our hearts are and say, God, here's what it is. This is really what I want. He's going to give it to us, you know? And this just boosts my faith. I want to pray right now for our listening audience. And then, Carol, I'll give you an opportunity here in a moment to give some final thoughts. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We intercede for these people listening now or later on our website to this show. Lord, you know who they are. We don't know. We totally and completely commit this show to you week after week after week, trusting you to cause the people who need to hear it to find it and listen to it. And Lord, right now, for these needs represented out there in Radio Land, and we believe there's so many that are struggling with committing a loved one or a child to you and letting go. Lord, whatever their circumstances, whatever the touch they need from you, God, today is that day for the divine shift to happen, for you to move into their lives as they choose to move closer to you. Your word says, draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. So, Lord, we pray for our listening audience. We pray that they individually will find you in a deeper way, that they will desire to really have that defining moment where they learn to trust you. Trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. Lord, we pray that for every single listener to this show, today live or later on, that they will learn to trust in you and lean not to their own understanding, but all their ways to just trust you and commit their lives and those of the lives around them to you. So, Lord, we pray that. We pray a blessing on each listener in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Well, the Lord is merciful.
Amen.
The Lord is good. He is our protector. He is our stronghold in time of troubles.
Amen.
He holds us when we don't even want to be held.
Right.
When we don't know that we need to be held, he's right there. He comforts us. He leans against us with protection and mercy and love and hope. And he invites us without struggling to pull us through it. He invites us with his quiet, easy invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Carol, that reminded me as you started to say that, I totally agree with what you just said, of my great-granddaughters, the twins, that are 3 months old, that were here, the miracle babies, that were here a week before last. And you know when a little baby starts, they need a nap so bad. Cedric, you can relate to this. He's a brand-new father. They need a nap so bad, and they're fighting it, you know, and they're fussing, and they're kicking, and they don't want, and then you begin to just sing to them or pat their butt, you know, or hold them a certain way, or just rock them, whatever. I did for days, 2 weeks ago with my little great-granddaughters, and I just reminded me of just that touch, that gentle touch. Just they get to know that touch, whether it's a butt pat or whatever it is that puts them out, but then they just relax, and their little arms go down, and they just fall into a deep sleep, and he's shaking his head, Carol, because Cedric's a new daddy.
Oh, I know.
And he knows. And, you know, when that happens, that's a picture of us. We fight against it. We say, God, I'm mad at this person or that situation, or God, why aren't you going to change? And when we allow the Holy Spirit to pat us, to comfort us, to bring peace, to rock us, to sleep in his arms, when we allow that, everything, all that pain and struggle goes away and we get the rest we need. Isn't that beautiful?
It is. Mm. And I know in my situation with some of the medical procedures that I've undergone and the tests that I've undergone before, especially during the breast cancer treatment,
yes.
I was fearful.
Yes.
Because it was something new and different every day. And I was not at my full capacity. I was under the influence of some very, very powerful drugs.
Right.
To fight this cancer and kill it in my body.
Right.
And sometimes the only way that I could find peace was before I went into those machines, or even when I was in those machines, or going through all the testing when they were sticking needles in me all over the place with nothing to dull the pain.
Right.
I found a way of comfort, and I said, Jesus, I'm going to rest my head on your chest, and may I take the beat of your heart, and may I have my respirations to be in tune with yours.
Praise God.
Just let me lay here for a little while, Jesus.
Ooh, that's what it takes.
I promise not to be upset. I promise not to take time from someone else. I just need it just for a moment, Father, just for a moment. And before I knew it, I had begun to breathe differently. My body was completely relaxed because my heart and my breathing were in tune with his.
Amen. Woo!
Spirit. And that's what we have to do. And that's
Amen.
What we have to offer to each other.
Yes. Amen. And that's what happened with Hannah, I believe. And she just settled into that knowing that God was going to take care of her and her child and leave him there with the Lord. Woo, this has been a powerful show. Carol, thank you so much. Love you, love you, love you. And you are just a dear, dear friend. And I love the fact that you've been a part of our radio team since almost from the beginning, I believe. So
I think so.
Thank God. Thank you. Thank Nathan today. And we just want to invite all of you to use our prayer line that Carol and Pastor Jim will man that prayer line and send out the request. Again, one more time, I'll give it to you. prayers@bohmglobal.com. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Write your prayer request and it will be sent out and a lot of people will be praying for your needs. Make use of that. If you want to talk to me personally, that's easy. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com or the same thing, pastor@bohmglobal.com. pastor@bohmglobal.com. God bless you. Have a great week. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services. Why not come Wednesday night? We have great interactive Bible study. It is wild. It's crazy. It's fun. And it starts at 7:00 at our new beautiful building, 21933 US 19 North. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you'll see all the directions. Easy to find at the corner of Drew and 19. We welcome you Wednesday night at 7, Sunday morning at 10:30. And that's our service schedule. Sunday night, or Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesday night at 7. God bless you. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Carol up in Georgia, Nathan right here in Tampa, all of us sharing the Word of God with you this day. God bless you. Have a great week. Reach out to us, and we will do our best to pray for your need. God bless you. Have a great week. We love you.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.